I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everybody, Loreboys here. My name is, as often enough, Peter O'Donohue.
Hi, Piotr.
Piotr. And over this, over by here,
over
we got...
yonder.
Over yonder.
It sounds like you're from Skyrim when you speak like that. I'm James Miller.
I got, in like the past 3 days, I put like 11 hours into Skyrim.
There we go. That's where it's coming from.
It's been an average experience. A lot of fun, but my standards were much lower in 2011. And over yonder on this end here.
Here's the guy who's apparently less important than Peter's experience with Skyrim this weekend, because doesn't deserve an introduction for that little anecdote.
Didn't spend 11 hours with you.
I'm Ethan.
That's Hi. Ethan.
Hey, Edson.
Well, hey, everybody. So anyway, this week we are going to be doing... this is the second time I've played Podcast Necromancer to bring one of our old deleted episodes back from the dead. We are going to be talking about the prehistory, however much there is, of the Witcher series, most of which comes from the books.
Most of which, I see what you did there.
Hey. Spoke English properly. I like the cut of your jib, kid. Comes from... either in-game books or the Witcher books themselves, which predate the games by 5 years.
Yeah.
So Witcher 1 takes place 5 years after the end of the books. And this is an episode that Ethan hosted a long time ago.
A year and a half ago.
About a year and a half ago at this point. So this is going to be one of those ones where we don't have a guest, but as a pseudo-guest, we do have Ethan on as the resident...
Hi, thanks for having me. Great to
expert.
Be here.
Yeah, it's nice of you to come by to your own podcast and show up for once.
I also went to Geralt's homeland, Poland, in the last couple months.
Oh, that's
so
true,
if you want to ask me questions about that, I'm I drank a potion or two over there.
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
How many Polish people does it take to change a light bulb?
They're not bright. It's probably not. It's probably a lot.
One of them to climb the ladder and two of them to hold it.
Because
they're poles, you get it?
Oh.
Gotcha, Polish people. We know you're listening.
Gotcha, Polish people. Yeah, as of this week, I know you're listening. Yeah. I've been looking at the numbers. Again, I'm going to front load the thank you, everybody. Our numbers, I guess this sort of thing is kind of exponential, where you get like a couple downloads a week, and then you tell your friends, thank you, everybody who's been sharing our podcast, because our numbers continue to go up. Our past 30 days... like our last 30 days download tracker has been green over 100% consistently for the past 4 or 5 months. So thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
And now I suppose we will.
Well, a big thank you to everybody who stopped by for the extra life stream too.
Oh yeah. Last week we had extra
didn't catch
life.
It. We raised over 3 times our goal.
Yes. Because we got another donation from some mysterious Bob.
I know.
Yeah.
I know
they're still,
I know who it is.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So my dad.
Daddy?
I've been waiting for this moment for 27 years. We raised...
$10, exactly the price of cigarettes.
They didn't have change for a 20. It took me so long. We raised, I think, in USD is what it is $321.
How many Witchers did we raise?
Raising one Witcher episode from the dead. So
yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, raising now. But yeah, anyway, thank you, everybody. And now on with the show. So I'm just going to hand this off to the real host.
We do the theme song.
The acapella group is already here. there we go. Because as you may have noticed, while playing the Witcher games, is that there's a few, too many, some would say, monsters hanging around. That being...
Huh.
things like haunted wood that can control the minds of wolves.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah.
Ghouls?
Ghouls?
I love that you opened with the Leshen, because that's, like, I think my favorite monster quest and like my favorite Witcher contract in all the games.
What are you talking about?
The Leshen is my favorite monster in The Witcher 3, and regardless of the little passive buff it gives you, the Leshen trophy is the one that I always have.
Yeah. Can you guys elaborate? Because I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's The Witcher, for people who don't know, yes. A Witcher is a person who hunts monsters.
Yeah, a Witcher is a job, not a... You know,
it's more of a lifestyle.
It's a career.
Yeah.
No, not really a lifestyle. It's very much, I guess.
So, yeah, people are usually young kids are like taken and trained to be these witchers.
I will get into the creation of a witcher or how you turn orphan into pitiless killing machine. Yeah.
In the game, you can just pick up contracts, which are basically just like side quests. And one of them is there's this village who believes there's this spirit in the woods who's angry because the villagers have been like chopping down the forest or something like
that. Yeah, I can't remember.
But there's sacred trees.
There's some reason. There's some angry spirit, and you go and you find this angry spirit, and you got to decide what you want to do with it. Do you want to like clear the town, or do you want to, you know,
kill it
or perform? There's like a druidic ritual you can do, but the actual monster itself is like this. It's like made of like tree bark and moss, and it stands like really tall and really gangly, and it has like these like wicked antlers coming out of the back of its head.
It's like tree branches have grown around a deer skull, because the trophy is a deer skull, and it's got like gnarled antlers. It can control the minds of wolves and buff their damage, and also explode and fly through as a cloud of crows.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is some very spooky pagan bullshit.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Leshen is one of the monsters. Now, have you noticed any monsters out in the real world? How does one end up with monsters?
Student loans.
Okay, that's more of like a metaphorical monster.
Yeah,
that's
okay. More like a financial institution, really. Yeah,
well, it is pressing the air out of my lungs each and every single day.
Yeah, but there's like... Okay. That's really more the expression monkey on your back, less of an actual physical monkey.
So in the real
world...
Are
monkeys monsters?
Does monkeys monsters?
They'd be called monskeys, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the Sasquatch.
Oh, Bigfoot. Ooh. Confirmed monkey monster.
The Sasquatch contract.
I don't think monkeys are monsters, though, really. Monkeys are... Like, they can be mean, but usually because we're in their area.
They get bitey. They rip your face off.
You leave monkeys alone.
Do monsters eat bananas?
Some might.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. It's just because on reading my script, Google Drive opened up Google Chrome, and I'm like, well, that's very inconvenient.
That's not what I wanted, Google.
That's not what I wanted at all. Also, can you unblur the text? Lovely. Where'd all these monsters come from? At present, it's just a theory. The leading theory is that they ended up stranded in the world of The Witcher during an event known as the Conjunction of the Spheres.
Mm-hmm.
The games take place on the continent.
I love that Schoolhouse Rock song, by the way.
Conjunction, Junction of the Spheres. Yeah. Thank you. I was going to make that joke. I'm glad I'm glad you did, but yeah. Thanks, James.
I'll tell you.
Anyway, the
Witcher
video game.
Should I just say
the
whole script, too?
Yeah, why don't you fucking host? Yeah. Big Dick Jamie over here, seen clips of Schoolhouse Rock from the 60s.
Yeah, Conjunction Junction. What's Peter's function, really?
Yeah. Cartoon boy. The games take place on the continent, which was originally inhabited by the elder races, dwarves and gnomes. Gnomes were objectively the first, from what we can tell, at least, as they already had small colonies on Mahakamon or Mahakam.
Yeah.
Are they normal, or like, in population, or just
small colonies?
little colonies.
Yeah. Little teeny tiny colonies. They're so cute! Like little doll houses.
Population of 4 million, but all the houses are little. It's just like, what a small colony.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they already had small colonies in Mahakam or Mahakamon, however you want to say that, when the dwarves arrived.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So gnomes may have been the original inhabitants of this planet.
Yeah.
It
seems likely that they were.
Yeah, exactly. From what we can tell, but before this point here, there was no written word. So the dwarves and the gnomes did not write.
Word.
So, yeah.
And like when the dwarves showed up, right? Because if there's already colonies... When the dwarves showed
up. Correct, yeah. Well, the dwarves arrive, and then gnomes be there, and they're just like, finally, I can open that big and tall store, suit store that I've always dreamt of.
The gnomes looking at the dwarves like, look at those giants!
Yeah.
Holy moly!
I always pictured them about the same height, but just dwarfed wider. But I don't know.
That's fair. I see that as well.
D&D,
but like
canon and World of Warcraft, gnomes are shorter for sure.
Yeah, really? They're way tinier. Sure, sure. They're like the size of toddlers, whereas dwarves are like the size of someone who's like 9 or 10.
Gnomes also have very weak necks, so you really have to support the head if you're ever holding one.
Really?
Like a toddler?
Oh, like a toddler. Sorry.
Or a baby.
I don't know anything about D&D other than what you've told me, and I was just like, sounds right. I don't know much about...
That's why gnomes are always wearing turtlenecks, just for a little extra support.
Oh, keeps your head up. It's like, ooh, geez. Yeah. It's a formal event, only collared shirts, and they're just like, ooh, maybe I'll sit this one out.
Yeah.
really start bigots!
Yeah. That's even better because, like, they would be talking to bigger people, too, calling them bigots.
Bigots. Oh, man. Master of transitions and segues, also master of fucking
jokes.
Puns. James, also funny, so you know there.
Not.
Bachelor number one.
Yeah.
A race of elves, who would be the almighty tallest at this point, eventually arrived after the dwarves had arrived on large white ships. Where they came from is unclear, but they did arrive in giant white ships, making them among more of like a middle-aged race and less of an elder race.
Yeah.
The race of elves known as the Enshade are actually different than the elves that make up the Wild Hunt in The Witcher 3.
Yeah.
The Hunt elves are the Ain-El and come from a separate planet or universe or something.
You say they're the anal?
NL. Yeah, they're the
NL. NL, yeah.
NLs. They're anals of history.
Yeah.
Witcher gets all like time travel-y, portal-y later, so it could be from anywhere.
It's more like dimension hopping, and it is...
Which is
me,
what...
I speculate that Siri did go to Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, I think everyone speculates that
at
this point, Peter.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so during the games, at some point, like Jamie was saying, you are jumping between dimensions. Which is
you go to another planet with Avalok that is like the desert planet covered in angry crabs.
And Siri mentions at one point that she went to a dimension that has like flying cars. Most people think that that's a reference to CD Projekt Red's other project, which is Cyberpunk 2077,
which looks fucking great.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
The old calendars refer to this as the Age of Migration, and it took place roughly about 2,000 years before the arrival of the humans.
Yeah, okay.
You had mentioned this on the way here and in the older episode, but the elves, which are the Enshade, were constantly at war in their home world with unicorns.
Yes.
At all times. I don't know if you want to...
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's not that much on it. It's just there was like a massive and constant war between elves and unicorns canonically in The Witcher.
Yeah.
Which is why...
That's presumably why they came to the continent, because it is documented that the...
Unicorns were winning?
The Enshade's home world, or whatever it was, is completely destroyed.
Yeah. There's just holes, like, all these horn holes all over the place.
Yeah.
Like very lit, like bright, like green meadows. Like think of like a children's cartoon, rainbows everywhere, just an elf just running. Yeah. Like, oh my god!
It caused a lot of droughts because they kept poking holes in the water buckets.
Yeah, but it's like you say, it's like this beautiful meadow with this rainbow and like a bunch of like elves with war paint. Like we've made it to the den of the beast.
Elder unicorn lives at the foot of that rainbow, next to the pot of gold in the gingerbread house. What a maniac.
Yeah, yeah. The one else just starts puking.
Like. Gingerbread house. Yeah,
it's so nervous. Like, oh, God.
It's like D-Day.
Yeah.
It's like the like Saving Private Ryan, but they're all elves. Yeah. And when the camera spins around, instead of like the beaches of Normandy, it's like a charming fairy tale meadow.
Yeah.
There's still like people like kissing crosses and like falling out from seasickness.
Beautiful grazing beasts.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Just like prancing on the top of cliffs, like
peppermint towers. I don't fucking know, man.
No, that fits, man.
It'd be delicious. But anyway, as I was saying, the anals or the ANL are a separate race of elves from another planet or realm or whatever. The space travel hasn't been established yet, so we don't know. But the Wild Hunt are still elves, but they're space elves. Different space, though.
They have the power of winter, and ride their horses across dimensions.
Yes, and they're also very afraid of winter because the White Frost is some sort of other magical thing that they're running from.
Yeah.
We're not covering the games.
That's the Wild Hunt, yeah.
That's The Witcher 3.
The White Frost is entropy, basically.
Yeah.
It's like the universe, dimension after dimension is just going cold and filling up with ice and snow.
Yeah, it seems to be able to travel between and... Yeah. Exactly.
And who knows what happens with that?
Yeah, maybe in Cyberpunk 2077, they were just like, listen, all these crack-smoking robots might be a problem, but also the White Frost is coming. Yeah. And boom, Witcher 4 is Cyberpunk, Loreboy's canon.
I'm fucking into
Oh, dude.
I have a raging erection right now.
Can you imagine if your Cyberpunk cop drama turned into a fantasy game?
When
the White Frost arrived in Night City? Oh, my God.
I'd be fucking all about that.
Sounds better than Cyberpunk at the moment.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be fucking cool if in Cyberpunk, you met a character in a bar and it was just Siri?
Oh, dude, I hope they put her in it.
That'd be so fucking cool.
Because we've all been thinking she's been there already.
Or they don't even
dumb bitch got a pre-release version of the game. Come on, yeah. I want to play.
They don't have to go that far. They just have to put a hooded female figure. You can't even see her face.
That's it,
a couple things.
Or two swords on her back.
The fan base will just take
Well, she has one sword.
Oh, she has one
cat
sword.
Cat necklace.
Yeah.
Anyway, 1,500 years before the events of the Witcher book, which is the first one, which I think is Blood of Elves or some shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cataclysm known as the Conjunction of the Spheres occurs. This is where two or more universes or spheres of reality collided in some capacity. Of course, when I say collided, universes have a lot of empty space.
Yeah. Ethan and I were talking about this the other day, actually. Yeah, that's cool. There's a really cool video of the Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way Galaxy, knocking together on YouTube. And
Yeah.
I was, merge. We were talking about how much would it affect, us. Mm-hmm. And I think that it would completely destroy us, but it might not completely destroy us because there's so much empty space.
They might just harmlessly pass
99.999% empty space.
Yeah. So, similar thing, which is why the continent was not completely atomized by the gravitational forces of another universe passing through it.
Yeah.
Also, magic.
Whoa.
Ethan and Peter both started waving their hands around.
Dude, you can't just out me like that. I do an audio medium for a reason. Yeah. So people can't see my weird acid scars, for one. Anyway, I was saying, but this is exactly right. When I say collided, it's mostly that they pass through each other. It's like straining pasta, where the water goes through and some of the noodles are left behind. But in this case, the noodles are vampires.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dang, dude.
Yeah, which sucks, but...
Alfredo vampires or what, though?
Well, no, not the sauce. You don't strain sauce.
Yeah, but you
Cosmo Kramer begs to disagree.
Yep.
Okay, well,
there's a reference from the 1990s, folks.
You don't strain your pasta sauce because it's the liquidy bits of the tomato that's the best.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair.
And the cream that you put in your Alfredo sauce.
I think he was thinking linguine.
Oh, well.
Don't tell me what I'm thinking.
don't talk about my arms on the podcast.
And also magic. So vampires, magic, those are the noodles that the strainer that of the continent.
Bloaters, leshen.
Exactly.
Leshen. I still don't understand the metaphor, though. How is noodles vampires?
So
because the boiling
pot of noodles
is the universe. And then it strains through our universe and leaves behind the noodles, which are vampires.
But, so there's another universe with vampires?
Yes.
We were in the water.
Some of them were left behind. Exactly.
Oh,
there's all these other dimensions which have all these other different things. And one of them had vampires, and at some point it passes through.
So as our universe is going down the drain, a few of those noodles is coming down with, and those are vampires.
No, because you get to keep them, so you strain the vampires into a bowl.
Okay. No, it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
The metaphor could work either way, because you can say our universe is actually the sink and the drain, and some of them get through and go down the drain. Yeah.
If the making pasta metaphor is lost on our listeners, basically, two or more universes collided, most of a universe is empty space, and some of the monsters got left behind on the continent. Yeah.
Okay, we have vampires in our world now.
And presumably, presumably some people just get raptured right the fuck out into monster world, right?
Well, you know...
damn, yeah.
That would suck.
Along with the monsters came two races of humans.
Oh.
And this one here, I did write, possibly Loreboy's canon, Earth. Why not?
That's a race?
Why not write... Earth. Earth, into
Polish Earth.
The exactly.
And then maybe that explains it. Like, we didn't get monsters here, but maybe some people got raptured up.
Exactly. And stuck on the continent.
Who knows? Maybe it wasn't the Black
human,
Plague.
The human that got rid of all those people. The human races are not native to the planet that the continent resides on, and they ended up there around the same time as the conjunction of the spheres. Very convenient. For me, I write lore boys canon is that the universe that Earth resides inside of perhaps passed through the universe the continent resides inside of, and some Earth humans were raptured onto the continent.
Okay.
And left behind. The two races were the Dauk, which is D-A-U-K, so I don't know if it's Doc or Dauk. Yeah. So Doc?
I think it's Doc, yeah.
I like the way Dauk sounds.
Dauk.
Dauk.
Fun,
yeah.
And the Wazgor, or Wozgor, whatever. Very little is known about these races, because at present, none of the five races currently on the continent have invented writing.
Super primitive people at this point.
Yeah.
That just, like, made it over here, and they're just like, oh, ooga booga.
It's basically the Doc and the Wazgor are caveman and fancy caveman.
Exactly.
Okay, and we don't know, like, anything about them, like, how they look.
Have you ever seen Quest for Fire? So Quest for Fire, like, the climax of that film is when the caveman transition from fucking doggy style to fucking missionary.
Hell yeah,
is like,
dude.
that's how you know you've got culture, is when you stop fucking when you stop fucking doggy style and transition to missionary is when you upgrade your humanity.
Yeah,
it's theory of mind. It's when you know there's someone on the other end. Like, whenever, like, what is, I'm not sure where you're getting
at. I mean, in the movie, it's symbolism to show that.
Oh, okay.
You know, they're not such primitive animals that fuck like animals. They fuck like people now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because all people fuck missionary style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nobody fucks like a dog, Jamie. No.
Yeah.
Well, followed up with a sturdy handshake.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quote, Stephen Colbert. I'm not going to steal that joke. but yeah, anyway, the Doc and the Wazgor are caveman and fancier caveman.
Yeah.
From
Neanderthals and Homo sapiens.
Basically.
Sure.
Yeah, stark naked, mud-caked barbarians and us, who are better than that.
Yes.
Right?
Clearly. I mean, us, yeah. There's a lot of evidence that Homo sapiens were actually stupider than Neanderthals. We just killed them out through viciousness and then evolved to be better.
That's a pity. I'm glad
we extincted them.
Yeah, I'm glad that I, relatively speaking to a Neanderthal, have a smaller nose. but still, what with all the Greekness, have a rather large nose.
Yeah.
It's good. Keeps the air warm when I breathe in.
And you smell like cheese.
I do.
What?
The wizard Eltibald studied obelisks left behind by the Dauk while researching the Curse of the Black Sun, which I will elaborate on. They could probably be compared to the Celts in some capacity, as much of The Witcher comes from Poland and the area around it.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems unlikely they would be compared to Middle Eastern people who also built obelisks, as the ones in The Witcher are much smaller than anything seen in Egypt. They're more like little 4 or 5 foot rock pillars with runes carved into them, and that was what the Dauk would make, or the Doc.
More like Stonehenge, right?
Even smaller than that.
Smaller?
Yeah. The Wazgor are considered to be much more sophisticated race. However, this is only conjecture, as we still don't know much about them. Eltibald studied their inscriptions on tombstones and their necropolises.
Cool.
So it could be said that the Dauk were almost even too primitive to bury their dead, as they did not have large burial pits. However, the Wazgor did.
Okay.
And these are the two OG humans that got stuck on the continent during the convention.
I don't think that not burying your dead is like a sign of being primitive. Like, it's just as long as you have a ritual, right? Like,
well, burying your dead is a sign of intelligence because they're poison. Like, corpses are poison.
Yeah.
So
you can burn them.
That's why, yeah. If that's what they did, then yeah.
But it left no evidence behind either way. So that's why it's still just, even in the lore of The Witcher, it's a theory that the Dauk are more primitive than the Wazgor.
But a theory.
Yeah.
It's a theory.
It's just a theory. A game theory. Thanks for watching.
Yeah. Good episode, guys.
Thanks. Whoa. Yeah.
How did you guys both know how to do that right at the same time?
Oh,
old man Jamie's never been on YouTube.
Yeah. Just so you know, Ethan's still waving his hands around.
I'm going home.
Jamie, that YouTube channel is why we're never going to do Five Nights at Freddy's lore.
Thank God.
Because that channel has done it to death.
Yep. Almost, some would say, too much.
Yeah, I would say the first two episodes were great. The next 18...
Not
little
so
over
great.
The top.
Yeah. Matt running out of ideas.
I never liked Friday the 13th anyways.
I want to mention, like I said, the Curse of the Black Sun for a moment, because The Witcher is itself kind of taking the piss out of fairy tales. It's like very much a satirical game. There's a YouTuber who I love called Super Bunny Hop, who is just like, despite all the like grime and politics, The Witcher is closer to Shrek than it is to Game of Thrones because it does make fun of fairy tales.
Yeah, yeah.
And it always has, like the books did and this did as well. I have a quote about the Curse of the Black Sun. First, the wizards hunted down the girls. So the Curse of the Black Sun, I should elaborate, is 60 girls born during or shortly after a certain eclipse.
Okay.
So that would be the Black Sun.
Okay.
First, the wizards hunted down the girls, killed them, and performed autopsies when possible. After a while, when they admitted that recognizing the girls was hard...
They opted
to simply lock them into towers and isolate them. That plan suffered because there was a brief fancy of saving beautiful girls from towers among princes.
Oh,
so
wow.
Saving princesses was just a passing fad among dumb young men.
That's so good.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And they literally just locked them up because they're like, we don't know if that's her or not.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this little girl who maybe you incinerated with magic fire, was she cursed? It's like, Oh, yeah.
Do you think they had the towers already? Or they're like, found a girl. All right,
get building another tower.
Yeah.
15 years later.
Yeah, exactly.
We're up there. You know, like Montreal construction?
Or, yeah, yeah.
Like a big fucking hole in the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
One wizard watching one guy. Or like. but anyway, that was just a funny little aside about the Curse of the Black Sun.
That's good.
In the games, actually, we encounter two so-called cursed women. Deirdre Andamine, Eskel, who, if you remember, is one of the witchers you hang out with in The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one wearing the red coat.
Mm-hmm. He's very sarcastic.
He is.
Eskel.
Yeah, so it's Eskel and Lambert, and I always call them Siskel and Ebert.
Okay.
I don't know if that was intentional, but if it was, tips fedora to Mr. Sefcovsky. The author of the Witcher books.
It's been too long since I've played. I can't remember.
It's really fucking good. Yeah.
It's a very good game.
So Deirdre became Eskel's unexpected child, as Vesemir puts it. Vesemir being the older Witcher at the beginning, the teacher of the Witchers at Kaer Morhen.
Yep. I remember him.
The one who taught Geralt.
Yep.
A father figure to Geralt.
He gives you the bow in the first game.
Yes, he does. He gives you the crossbow.
In third game.
Geralt being the...
main character
in the books and that game.
Yes, we will. Well, he's mostly the main character in the books. It does shift to Ciri, but he's the main character in the games.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll talk about Geralt later on. As Vesemir put it, it was the unexpected child, because when the Witcher saved Deirdre's father, the Prince of Kanghorn, in gratitude, the prince promised Eskel that which he would find but did not expect when he returned home. This, as it turned out, was the pregnancy of his wife. And therefore, Deirdre, who was born after that. Witchers are sterile from all the magic juicing that they need to do.
Yeah.
So the prince was just like, I'm going to give you the greatest gift of all. I'm going to bang your wife and get her pregnant because your swimmers don't swim anymore because of all the acid you drink.
And what could be better than a baguette of mine?
Yeah, exactly. A cursed daughter. The second is Sylvia Anna, who is in the Blood and Wine expansion.
Mm-hmm.
She is the sister of Anna Henrietta, the Duchess of Toussaint.
Okay.
And she was actually plagued by nightmares as a child, so she may have actually been cursed by the Black Sun.
Oh, shit.
Deirdre, no such thing. She's considered unlucky at worst, but not plagued by nightmares.
Yeah, we don't bring her out when guests come over.
No, exactly. she's just gonna topple over, knock over the cheese plate.
She's so clumsy.
Oh, so clumsy.
Back to the tower!
She's basically Anne Hathaway in Princess Bride.
Okay.
Just like...
Haven't seen it.
That is a reference I won't get. But.
Well, whatever. Fuck.
I know I know at this point I should have seen it. And I'm sure there's somebody screaming while listening to this, but...
You guys would have been very surprised if I saw that one, I think.
Yeah.
Well, I would have been as surprised as I am that you've
Darth
seen
Darth Vader
any
was her father,
movie.
Jamie. Come on. About 200 years later, something known as the Resurrection occurs.
Okay.
Causing humans to change the calendar. The events prior to this, including the conjunction of the spheres, are in the years BR, or before resurrection, and then the years following this are known as the good non-heathen years.
Anno Domini.
Do they use an acronym for that, the good non-heathen years, the GNH?
Oh, yeah.
years? No.
No.
No. Okay.
The
no,
GBH one.
GBH, yeah. The GBC, this is Game Boy Color. So something called the Resurrection occurs. It's still labeled as a mysterious event. No one's really sure what the fuck it was, but it's maybe Witcher Jesus. Who knows?
Witcher Jesus? What do you mean?
It's just called the Resurrection. It occurs, so like, and humans, who are soon to be the dominant species on the continent, changed the fucking calendar. They were just like, good enough, throw it away, get rid of everything. It's just like, we have 2,000 years of gnome culture. It's garbage.
It's garbage. Scrap it.
Get it out of here.
Scrap it. We're starting over, damn it.
Crush it into a cube, burn it, I don't care.
What do you think it would take us to change all of our calendars
again?
Across? Yeah,
no, considering again. We're currently in BC?
Yeah.
AD, you mean?
What?
Oh, we're in AD, God. Yeah.
I've been sacrificing Peter, so
Peter,
many
Peter, we're
people.
In Quebec right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I was going there, too.
Boo!
Canada joke for all our Polish listeners.
Yeah.
Who will never get it.
What do you think it would take to change your calendar?
Oh, fuck.
Jesus?
Jesus 2?
The Second Coming? Yeah.
Nah. Jesus 2, Son of Jesus? Son of God?
Even then, I don't even know if the Second Coming would, like... Right? Like, I don't know if the... Like, it could really... mobilize everyone to actually change their calendar.
It is. No, I think it's local space travel. I think once you're just not everyone's on the Earth.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Like
yeah.
AE, like After Earth.
Yeah.
Like Titan AE, that movie that no one saw. Sunk a studio, it did.
See, I would have been surprised if you'd seen that one, James.
Yeah. Nope. Back to history. Yeah, because no one did. The Nordlings arrive just under 1,000 years after the conjunction of the spheres, and they are the third race of humans on the continent.
Mm-hmm.
It is debated, however, whether or not the Nordlings ever interacted with the Dok or the Wazgor, or if they had already gone extinct. So there is a missing connection here.
There's a missing link?
They're from Skyrim.
Yeah. Christians were right this whole time.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So it's unclear. Although, canonically speaking, humans are said to have evolved on the continent, and elves believe that they were created.
That the elves were created.
Yeah, well, yeah. The elves believe that they themselves were created by some god
divinely,
before being stranded on the continent, and that humans it's said to have evolved, which is why, in some cases, the elves refer to humans as hairless monkeys.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're not wrong, honestly. I mean, arguably, they could say hairless ape if they want to be really, really
more
specific,
more,
you know what. Yeah. Racism doesn't have a whole lot of time for fact or science, so we'll leave it at that.
That is true.
Yeah. It's like, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so what this means is humans came to the continent three separate times.
Well, the Wazgor and the Dok arrived...
at the same time, but...
similar times at the very least.
From, different backgrounds. Yeah.
And then the third time...
You had a working class and an upper class.
This runs deep for a demon bounty hunter game.
Based on seven books, so...
Yeah.
All this weird sci-fi.
Yeah, man.
Due to their military art and fertility, humans managed to take over the continent in only a few centuries.
Yeah.
So elves, dwarves, and gnomes breed much slower, live longer, and mature slower, so repopulating armies is much more difficult.
Yeah.
Humans, I mean, we were talking about this during the sound test, we got a nut.
Yeah, we got a nut, dude.
That's pretty much what our sound effects are. Is we just all look at each other like, got a nut.
Got a
nut.
Got
a nut, right?
You guys still got a nut?
Yeah.
Got a nut. It's like you gelling.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a reference to the 90s as well.
Yeah. It's like the episode of Futurama where they're fighting the killbots, and Zap Brannigan is like, each killbot has a 10,000 kill limit, and once they hit that, they automatically shut down. I plan on sending wave after wave of my men. At them, shutting them all down.
It was exactly like that.
Yeah.
Humans, just good old-fashioned fucking.
Yeah.
And you
fucking and fighting.
You can basically just outpace the elves.
Yeah.
Because they cannot breed fast.
Their refractory period is just way too long.
Yeah, fuck.
Those male elves, they not once, they get so tired.
Yeah, they sleep for like 2 centuries.
Yeah.
And then kind of like lazily walk over to the fridge to get a beer that they put the cap back on for some reason.
Yeah, and there's like a human sitting at their kitchen table just like eating a sandwich like, oh shit. Hey,
guys,
you're up.
If the rodents figure their shit out, they coordinate like all the squirrels, all the rats, all the is a possum a rodent? They all come at us.
Possums are marsupials.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, you're right. But they all come at us. There's way more of them.
Yeah.
But the good thing is we can just conveniently hit them with our cars on the way to work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you don't have a car, but you got a big dog.
Yeah.
Well, get them.
Yeah, elves had magic, right? Like
no, well, magic.
You might be onto something because
magic was left behind, and everybody got magic. It's part of the conjunction of the spheres.
I could kill a lot of rats, but I don't think I could kill a proportional number of rats.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, to how fast they have sex? Nope.
And to how many of them there already are.
They do, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Bustin makes them feel good.
Bustin does make them feel good.
Bustin makes us feel good. And it kept us on top of the elves.
And the rats.
Staying
so
on top, especially the rats, yeah. One thing, however, that people could not outfuck were all those monsters that came with them during when the spheres conjuncted. Yeah.
Monsters fuck fast. I've seen hentai.
Yo, monsters fuck real fast. They can lay a clutch of slimy eggs, presumably.
Ugh. Hell yeah.
And or possess your body. Or they're just a vengeful forest spirit made of branches and a deer skull.
Or
like,
they can make you impotent.
It's real tricky.
Or they're just people who died with unfinished business. Or they're a monster, too.
Yeah. Or they just make your corn not taste good.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. I love corn.
So
when it tastes good.
Corn's good. Fine.
If you take away the taste, what's the point of corn? Yeah.
You poop it out whole anyway. It's not like you digest it.
I love corn when it tastes good.
Ew. Stupid forest ghost made my corn bitter.
Put that on a cob of corn.
Yeah. You put that on a cob of corn. yeah, that's an old callback.
A year ago now.
Yeah,
put that on some corn was one of our old t-shirt ideas.
Yeah, put that on a piece of corn.
Maybe you'll get it one day.
Maybe.
So, humans, when we're just like, okay, whatever we can't outfuck, we can just murder. So we used alchemy and magic, and they would create...
True love.
Nope. Witcher.
Witcher!
Okay.
That's a good try.
Yeah.
Well, we are going to get to true love, though, right?
Yeah, Jamie. Sure, we will.
That's in the games. You gotta play the games
for it. There is true love, yeah. Roughly 200 years after the arrival of the Nordlings, the rogue mages Alzer and Cosmo Maslafpina, which is Greek.
Maslafpina?
Maslaspina.
That's my favorite Greek order.
I have Greek food in brackets right here.
Nice.
Created witchers.
Okay.
Masters of hybridizing, they used alchemy and mutagens to turn children, only boys, however, into monster killing machines.
Yes.
Possibly as a course correction, this is more Lore Boys canon, because before creating witchers, they were already masters of hybridizing and created many horrible monsters.
Yes.
By pairing up other horrible monsters.
Well, there wasn't enough.
When you meant in the first place, you called them monster killing machines. I thought they were monsters who were also killing
monsters.
Or they kill
in some ways. Yeah. Well, some ways. I mean, if you're a racist, then you think they're freaks.
Yeah.
Hybrids, according to the Witcher bestiary, being things like griffins, harpies, and succubi. So basically, they made griffins and the pervy monsters. Because Cosmo likes him some fuck.
Oh, yeah. Who doesn't?
What is the three animals that make a griffin again? It's a lion, hawk,
a witch in a wardrobe.
I love that.
No, a griffin is an eagle and a lion.
Eagle and a lion.
A manticore is. Three. No, Chimera's three.
Chimera is a goat, a lion,
and
a snake.
And a manticore is a lion with a scorpion tail.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And aren't there, like, dogs? Oh, no, I'm thinking of dogs with
three
heads.
There are dogs.
What are dogs with three heads?
Cerberus.
Cerberus is from Greek mythology.
Cerberus. It's not really a hybrid if it's just three dogs.
Yeah, it's not. Well, it's a hybrid of three dogs.
Yeah. That's not what they're talking about.
It's a labradoodle is what you're thinking of.
Yeah, it is.
I don't like
at the
those.
Gates of hell. It's a labradoodle.
Yeah.
No, you don't like poodles. Labradoodles are okay.
I don't like either, to be honest. Yeah. I find they're way too jumpy and excited. But
yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I mean, you got a premium.
I'd rather a Cerberus than a labradoodle.
Yeah.
Fair.
So that's just my own personal theory, that they had created all these additional monsters and were just like, it was all for the greater good, guys, because we made these magic people who just kill monsters all the time. Don't you worry about it. Mm. I'm going to go back here and have more sex with my goat bitch.
Yeah.
More succubi sex.
Hell yeah.
The world at this point was pretty close to where the books and the games take place, because overall, even by the end of Blood and Wine, which is the ultimate end of the series, where Geralt retires to a vineyard in Toussaint, less than 1,300 years have passed. Blood and Wine actually finishes in 1275. So now we're going to shift into prehistory, into what's a Witcher? What's the title made out of?
What is a Witcher?
What does Witcher? Other than being a hybrid monster, possibly that somebody created to cover their own ass after
a monster creating monster killer, if you will.
A monster monster killer.
A witcher is something that you cut over and over again, that it keeps scarring over, where like the glue is stronger than what it's actually made of, so it just basically becomes like all glue, and it's just like it hurts so much that you can't hurt it bad anymore.
Oh, essentially, yeah.
I didn't follow that, but sure.
Just a metaphor.
No? Oh, okay.
Because, like, the trial of grass
yeah.
is, like, you hurt them so bad that nothing else could hurt them.
Taken in as children, witches-to-be are subjected to intense alchemical processes, consumption of mutagenic compounds, and relentless physical and magical training to make them dangerous and highly versatile against a vast array of opponents, many of which possess superhuman speed, strength, and or deadly powers. This is known as the Trial of the Grasses, and it often kills the child. I think it's something like 4 of 7 young boys die at some point during the trial.
To get back to what I meant by, like, the glue is stronger, is like when you break a piece of wood and then you glue it back together, the glue is actually stronger than the wood surrounding.
Okay, then
it's like you're breaking something over and over again that when you repair it, or it's repairing itself, by the end, it is stronger than before it was broken.
It's an Alanis Morissette song.
It's ironic,
I don't think.
The more damage you do, the stronger she comes back.
Okay. It's like rain.
On your wedding day.
It's like Spoon when all you need is a
knife. Up when you're too young to vote. That's the song, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is ironic. So.
That is a good episode title. Witcher, being too beaten up when you're too young to vote. Geralt of Rivia is the main character of most of the books and all of the games.
Uh-huh.
He was left with the witchers at the fortress of Kaer Morhen by his mother, Visianna. Visianna is a druid and sorceress, and Geralt in the books actually met her once while she was treating him for serious injuries.
Oh,
so
cool.
He is neither an orphan or completely abandoned, because he got to hang out with his mom at one point, and she was just
I think you're still an orphan and completely abandoned.
Why'd you get so many
lizard bites? If your mom just like shows up one time to save you from the brink of death when you're a fully grown adult.
Yeah, I guess.
You still had a pretty orphan childhood, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
This is one of the funnier kind of like businessy aspects of being a witcher, because they are just kind of handymen, but instead of like clearing out a drain, they're just like, oh, well, you've got a bunch of flesh-eating corpses in your pipes.
Yeah.
Let me get that out
for
you.
Let me get that out for you.
Nice, bends over, got some witcher crack.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming poking out through the top of your jeans.
But they always have to take gold in exchange for their services, or else it's not like a witcher job. Is that a thing?
Not necessarily. It's more like a monster contract.
Okay.
A witcher is just someone you hire. Like, you could arguably go buy Drano to get all those flesh-eating corpses out of your drain.
Is Drano a witcher?
Nah.
It's been given a lot of chemicals until it doesn't know what it is anymore.
Fine. Then, yeah, that's true. It's still a liquid, so there's water in there. So, yeah, Drano is a witcher.
Okay, cool.
Four voice canon, Drano, witcher.
We got Eskel, Lambert,
Drano,
Geralt, and Drano.
And Vesemir was just like, oh, Geralt, you're so clumsy. Why can't you be more like Drano? It's like a bottle.
An inanimate bottle,
topples over. God, I love that kid. There's your art, everybody. There it is, just like
a monster battling with a bottle of Drano.
Well, I was thinking of just like Vesemir being really proud of a bottle of Drano, like in a picture or a painting. Yeah. Just like thumbs up. I'll figure it out. Drano's going to be involved. Witchers are advised to choose surnames for themselves to appear more trustworthy to potential clients. Since they are abandoned, they don't have their parents' surnames, and I personally would never hire someone with one name, like Cher, who is also a freak.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't trust somebody like that to clean your pipes.
No.
She's got great pipes, though.
She's got a set of pipes.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that she knows what the fuck she's doing. She's only got one named. Possibly was abandoned at a European castle.
Yeah.
Don't know. Right?
There's no way to prove that she wasn't.
No. Judging by her Twitter, she's a lunatic. Geralt's first choice was Geralt Roger Eric Zoot Belgald.
Okay.
And the older witcher, Vesemir, told him that was fucking stupid and pretentious.
Yeah.
So he settled on of Rivia. Geralt, however, is not from Rivia, and his accent is fake.
Oh, yeah?
He puts on a Rivian accent to appear more authentic.
Nice.
Or used to. It's his voice now. But
he's also known as the Butcher of Blaviken.
Yes.
I'm seeing a lot of like parallels to Hugh Laurie in House, actually. Different accent, very good at what he does.
Can't
sense of knowledge.
Yeah, he's an ornery bastard. He's addicted to Vicodin.
Yeah, that's what I was going to
his ask. His best friend is a bottle of Drano.
Yeah.
Oh, my. You're on something.
I was going to say, he's got like a hot, dark-haired lover.
Yeah.
What's her name? Cuddy?
Yeah.
God, that woman's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Every time he looks at a crime scene, because you know you have to use your witcher senses and be like, what happened here?
Yeah.
Oh, it says lupus.
He's got a steel cane and a silver cane.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh. Oh, man.
Witches are trained to fight with almost anything. I just mentioned that. But specifically are trained to fight with one-handed swords, one steel and one silver. Steel for mundane enemies and silver for supernatural ones.
Okay.
Yep. Silver's a softer metal, I guess.
Silver's weak,
dude.
So
it's like hard to kill a human with a pointy piece of silver.
But it's easier to imbue magic into its pores.
Yes. And then ghosts are weak to silver, as well as werewolves, leshens, who are our favorite, we've established, griffins, other sexy hybrids.
I think in the books it makes sense because it's like, silver's fucking expensive. You're going to have the steel sword to go bang on people's armor because you don't want to fuck up the silver sword if you don't need to.
And the silver sword don't wear armor.
Yeah,
ghosts don't chip up your sword too much.
Well, yeah. Well, you could also say, like, if it's necessary. Like, if you know, all monsters do have a property where, like, they are more affected by silver, then that all makes sense. But as soon as you get to the games, it's like, well, why when I do hit somebody with my silver sword, does it do significantly less damage? Like, just a normal person?
Yeah.
And I think that's just because gameplay.
Yeah. Well, you know? it's
because it's video game.
Well, in the books, they also fight with the two swords, and that's, like, just fairy tale canon that silver is default magic metal for...
Exactly, yeah.
Whatever, yeah, exactly.
It's the same in Dark Souls. It's the same in Skyrim. It's the same in everything.
Yeah, the werewolf hunters in Skyrim carry silver swords.
Exactly.
Right, it's just a standard fantasy thing that...
In Oblivion, you couldn't hit ghosts without a silver sword.
No, that's true.
Silver or enchanted.
Because Oblivion had rules, opposed to Skyrim, which is...
No rules.
No rules.
I don't have a silver sword, never hit a ghost.
Yeah, I ain't never seen no ghost.
That's true.
I am afraid of them, though. Witchers also drink potions to further enhance their already enhanced abilities, albeit for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. Potions are alchemical ingredients mixed with alcohol. Mm. So in the books, Witcher 1, Witcher 3, every potion has a liquor base, whereas in The Witcher 2, they changed it around a bit. It was weird. You would just kind of reduce things down to, like, rubido.
Okay.
Whatever, like, all their alchemical bases.
What is rubido?
Rubido's the red one.
It's how much you like to fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I like rubido.
That was a good one, too. Monster libido, yeah. Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're talking about them succubi.
Yeah, exactly.
You gotta fuck them sexy hybrids.
That's it.
And then when someone finds out that you're a goat fucking pervert, you're like, no, I made super soldiers, guys. Yeah. It was all experiments. Yeah. It was all for fantasy science. Yeah. So they're incredibly toxic. Even witchers, with their accelerated recovery and all their superpowers, their reflexes, can only imbibe a few potions at a time.
At a time.
They got a toxicity meter. It turns their blood black. And The Witcher 3, your skin gets paler and your veins get darker.
Yeah.
The more potions you take.
But your beard still looks great.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
Love that beard in Witcher 3.
That was my...
You never cut it off?
No, I kept it.
I did
it
once and instantly put it back.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's try it off. Oh, God, put it back.
Geralt when he's 14.
Yeah, a little baby face.
I changed the lines of the way that I shaved my beard after playing that game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to emulate it a little bit more.
My first playthrough of The Witcher, I had like an alchemical build. Like, that's what I mained.
Alchemy, out of the three trees, alchemy is really fucking good in Witcher 3. Really fucking good.
And it was just the funniest thing, because I, like, every cutscene immediately after a battle, I would just be super pale with, like, super black veins and, like, black eyes, just because I'd been, like, just, like, chugging these things.
I never got super deep in the alchemy. I was always just, like, straight up signs and combat.
I focused signs and alchemy really hard, because the combat in that game is just like your swords do the primary amount of damage, all your special moves.
Do you up your...
I've done all the builds at this point. Yeah, they're all viable.
That's it. I go melee damage, you get up Quen as soon as you can. Once you get Quen to max, you can just, like, that's the shield
active
one.
Active shield is great.
Yeah, and then you can just, like, always have a shield up, and then it is always healing you, plus you do a fuck ton of damage with your sword. It's like, you win.
If you have the one where the shield breaks and explodes and stuns enemies as well, it's really, really good.
Good game.
Very, very, very good game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So in The Witcher 3, for the uninformed, your beard grows over time and has four stages, which is baby face, porn stash, sexy beard, hobo beard.
I went hobo, man. I loved it.
The funniest thing that's happened to me multiple times, because I've played so much Witcher, is the cutscenes are still technically in real time, so I have had my beard change when the camera angle shifts.
Oh.
So it's just like Geralt walks up to a guy with, like, just the porn stash, or no, like, walks up to a guy clean shaven, and then it's like blah 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 blah, and then camera angle cuts to guy who goes blah 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 Geralt, cuts back to Geralt, instant porn stash. Because it spawns when the camera turns away.
That's so good.
Wow, wow, wow.
wow. Yeah.
Why don't we get comfortable?
Yeah, I'm here to clear your pipes.
like no shirt, just suspenders over his nipples, yeah, yeah. Like a fireman calendar. Yeah. But yeah, like the mustache growing, and that's happened to me multiple times where his beard even goes from like sexy beard to hobo beard.
Yeah.
Like walks up to a door with a guy, opens door, huge beard. Red Dead Redemption has a similar thing, but since technology has advanced so far in video game beards, he has... I've seen, like, the maximum beard.
Okay.
And in Red Dead, which none of us have played, correct?
No, I just...
He can be, like, prospecting mountain man levels of beard.
Wow. I watched... Before you guys got here, I watched, like, a 25-minute video from Polygon, just them trying to make Red Dead, the main character, fat, by eating a bunch of different things, in a shot in, like, a serial podcasting, like, spoken voice documentary style of thing.
Okay.
Was it good?
No, nothing happened. Nothing happened, and he didn't even get fat.
Fuck Polygon.
What
the fuck's going on over there?
CJ could get fat in GTA San Andreas, though.
Yeah,
right. CJ's the main character in that.
Yeah,
yeah. But there's an eating meter in there, and there's like tutorial videos be like, don't get overweight. But then like you can eat candy for like literally 2 days, and you'll never get overweight in the game currently. But anyways,
unplayable.
Yeah, we can move on.
other men. Who also could eat a bunch of candy and digest it because they're superhuman, or witchers. It is a common belief, even among witchers themselves, that they have no capacity for emotion. This may be debatable, however, and rather relative, considering the rigors of their training and the dangers they face on a day-to-day basis. Some of them may just be, you know, too hardcore.
Yeah.
I'm too much of a manly man to cry because I spend so much time fighting giant venomous monsters.
I guess we can point out now that book canon and game canon are technically separate because the author of the books has disavowed the games, says he doesn't like what they did with the characters.
Also, originally they offered him like a percentage of the cut for the games,
and he was like, no, video games are stupid
and I want a lump sum. Wasn't a very big lump sum. Games got very, very popular.
Always take a fucking percentage.
Yeah.
So stupid.
And so he's making no money off of an insanely...
But I mentioned that now because in the games, I think canonically speaking, Geralt falls in love.
Yes, Yennefer of Vengerberg is canonically in all things the love of his life.
Which even by the end of the books, like the way the books end, which I won't spoil, I guess. He can fall in love. Geralt can fall in love. Yeah. Whether or not he's the only Witcher who has these kind of emotions or not is up for debate.
No,
even in this canon here, they aren't, which I'm about to get into. What were you going to say, James?
Sorry, in the third game, there's a scene where you get drunk with the other Witcher bros. There's some
emotions.
That's
a fantastic quest, which is just hang out with your buddies.
It's just, like, talk and do, like, stupid, menial things while your character's so drunk he can barely walk
and
straight.
That's
and
it's like,
so
Yennefer's, like, come up to bed, and you're like, no, I'm getting drunk with the bros.
Yeah.
But you can go up to bed with her, but
none
like,
of
who
us
the
did.
Fuck does that?
None of us did.
But you can sneak up into her room later on, and you can steal her dresses, and you can call some of her friends on her like elf phone.
On her magic crystal.
Yeah. Oh,
I love that quest.
I love that whole game.
I love that whole game. In Hearts of Stone, the first expansion, which is better than the base game.
Oh my god. Just the story, man, is so fucking...
I haven't played any of the expansions, actually. Holy, I need to buy them and just do it. Yeah.
There's like a 4.5-hour wedding quest in which nothing goes wrong.
Yeah.
It's just a wedding you go and party at.
So enjoyable.
And it's so
really?
Much fun.
It's so fucking enjoyable. Every second of that game was just so enjoyable for me.
They really hit the nail on the head as far as side quests go.
Yeah.
Like, playing Skyrim again, I do find the quests quite good, despite the game I have some problems with. But there's other games, like I played Shadow of Mordor for 3-4 days straight. I just got to the second area. The side content is fucking trash.
Yeah.
But anyway, to go back to the fact that they do fall in love, it's possible that they just never had the time or exposure to society to develop or recognize the reactions to mundane experiences that most take for granted.
Yeah.
However, it may also be explained that a combination of their training, genetic modifications, and seclusion from society may encourage blunted emotional expressions. However, Geralt, Lambert, and Eskel all exhibit emotional heights concerning love, joy, fear, anger, lust, and sympathy, among various others.
Yeah.
So... even in the books, where they're kind of written to be more cynical and edgy, they still have these emotions where, obviously, Eskel was married and had that daughter through the prince that he saved, yep. the cursed girl of the Curse of the Black Sun. Geralt had an affair with Triss, and the love of his life has always been Yennefer of Vengerberg.
Yeah, so Yennefer, for people who maybe have been on the periphery of the game, haven't quite played it, Yennefer is black-haired girl, Triss is red-haired girl,
yep.
and Triss is a powerful... mage, or
they're both sorceresses.
They're both sorceresses. Yeah. Of
Yennefer is probably objectively much more powerful than Triss.
Yeah,
she's very strong.
Yeah, I've always been I've always been more of a Triss person myself.
Really?
Yeah, well, the red hair
got a thing for redheads.
Yeah,
that's all right.
Scottish.
But as far as thinking redheads are fine go, that's all I wanted to talk about. Witcher wise, just a little bit of prehistory. A little bit of what is a Witcher? What do Witcher?
Well, how do Witcher?
How do Witcher? Does Witcher created because Wizard wants to fuck goats?
Maybe. Okay, so let's
are they Draeno?
Yeah. So we're obviously big influencers in the video game world.
Big
let's influencers. Let's say a kid who hasn't played any of the games yet is starting now. Should they just start with 3 and be good with it, or should they start with 1, 2, 3?
Difficult to say. I have played all of them. I have never finished The Witcher 1.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who have only played 3 mm-hmm. because it was the first one that was released at the same time on console and on PC. Witcher 2 was on PC exclusively for a long fucking time and came to the 360 something stupid like in like basically 2025. It was yeah. so late it might as well not even be out yet. And the first one is only on PC.
Yeah.
One of the problems is a lot of the characters talk like they've known each other for a million years. So if you're only playing Witcher 3... there is, without exaggeration, 15 to 20 people who are major players in that game who will walk up to you and just start talking and be like, good to see you again, and then just go off.
You'll I think for the most part, you'll get into it, though.
Yeah.
I think for the most part, every character you meet in The Witcher 3 is not, they're not outright explained. It's not like, oh, Dijkstra, you're the old spy master for, Novigrad.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's like...
Guy with a monocle who hangs out with the trolls.
That's it. Through dialogue, you'll pick up who each character was. I played The Witcher 2. I very much did not like it.
It's janky.
I played it too.
It's janky.
And then when The Witcher 3 came out, I said for the longest time, like, nah, I'm not going to get it because I didn't like The Witcher 2. I'm probably not going to like The Witcher 3. Played it here once at Jamie's place and was just like, well, I'm going home and getting this game right now.
Yeah.
And it's easily in my top 3 games, if not my favorite game of all time.
Not to out you too much, you're going through a breakup at the time. I was making dinner being like, Ethan, play the game.
Oh, yeah.
Play the
game. And I did the quest where you fuck in the Tower of Rats there.
Oh, yeah, Kiramets.
Yeah, Kiramets.
Yeah, when you do the quest that is just shot for shot Cinderella.
Yeah.
And then you bang.
So I would say, I would honestly say, if you're thinking of picking it up, try The Witcher 3.
If
for
some reason haven't.
And then you can go back, by all means.
Yes.
I don't think you're missing out. Like, I tried to play Witcher 2, didn't remember much. I played Witcher 3 the whole way through.
Yeah.
There wasn't a moment where I was like, wondering anything. I was just having a good time.
Yeah.
Like, I love The Witcher 2 personally. I understand the jank and how it is, like, physically difficult to play because the controls are weird.
Yeah.
And, like, even then you can't really rebind everything. Like, it's just, it's a very polished Euro jank game.
Exactly.
It's made still by what was essentially an independent studio when that came out, right?
Yeah.
So,
I've been to Poland, and it still feels like you go there and you have one Canadian dollar, and you can live for like 3 days.
Yeah, well, like, economically speaking, right?
I mean,
I was a bit lost, and it really did help me when you could see like Vernon Roach again in Witcher 3, and they talk about all that shit.
Yeah.
Importing a save is also a really
nice touch.
Emotionally cool thing, you know, game wise. But
cool. I like The Witcher. I'm glad we talked.
It's
about
really
it.
Good. I would consider Witcher 3. For me, like, despite the fact it's not one of my... I don't consider it my favorite game in a long time. Like, we know we've put this down enough. For me, it's Prey. But, like, Witcher 3 is probably what I would consider to be one of the best games ever made.
Easily the best game in 2015.
Oh, hell yeah. What the Easily fuck even best. Else came out?
I don't remember.
Yeah. No, 2016, the next year, was Doom was a very good one. I don't know what else came out.
That was real good.
Yeah. Wait, was... No, 2017 was Mario Odyssey and Botwa.
Yeah.
Batwa.
Anyway, Ethan, if I wanted to put you up on a unicorn and plow you silly.
You can find me at Ethan the Dead Man on Twitter.
Okay. And Jamie, if I wanted to take you away from your parents and do unspeakable scientific things to you.
You can find me TLB underscore JMail on Instagram. And I think someone must have found my Facebook at James the Miller on Facebook.com because I'm getting a lot of half-naked women who aren't real people.
I'm getting that a lot, too. I think it's just a thing right now.
It's happened to me a couple
times.
No, dude,
I think it's because I'm really attractive.
Oh, right. Well, you are.
You're
but
right.
I'm not. This doesn't add up. Yeah. Wait a second.
Why are you both getting at it?
Yeah.
Anyways, and Peter, how can I find you?
I'm at Pete O'Donohue on Twitter. I am the cartoonist for The Lore Boys at theloreboys.com. That's our website. Check it out. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Leave us a review. Tell your friends. But more importantly, if you want to support us financially, Ethan, I think we have a pitch that these people are really, really going to like.
Yeah, so with the announcement of the new Netflix show and us researching this episode on The Witcher, we've been really getting into it over here at the Lore Boys Studios. And we've been going through our own Witcher training. And we've recently gotten, what is it, like 4 or 5 bottles of Drano?
Oh, yeah.
Which has turned out to be a little bit too much for all of us. So we're looking for the first 10 supporters to come over and drink Drano with us. For the low, low price of $64.99 a month, you will be invited to come to the Lore Boys Studios and drink Drano with us.
Cleans you right out.
And hopefully clean you out and turn you into a Witcher.
Yeah.
You will be drinking it first because Jamie tried and he said it hurt a lot.
Yeah.
So we're not sure.
It fucked my teeth up a lot.
I mixed it with rubbing alcohol, so I'm not sure which one was which, but I knew in The Witcher that you had to put rubbing alcohol in.
But you normally drink rubbing alcohol.
Well, only when I'm rubbing, but yeah.
And that constitutes
Hey, Lore Boys.
Drink some Drano. Witcher. And now performing the Lore Boys intro song by Eric Skiff. We have the Lore Boys a cappella group.
And now here's my impression, Ethan. Hi, Lore Boys here.
Shut up. Lore Boys here.
Okay, did I say mind. That?
Do I sound like that?
Was that just me just now? Did you guys play a clip? Yeah. What the hell?
Why is there an echo in your basement apartment?
Yeah, an echo before I say something. Hi, guys. Lore Boys here.
Lore Boys talking.
Back when mics around.
No. This is very good.
It is very good. You do sound good.
Yeah.
You sounded really good that last check.
How do I sound, Ethan? Oh, boy, Ethan. How do I sound?
Hard for me to tell because I hate the sound of your voice.
It's
oh my god.
It's awful. I know. Yeah, so do I.
Aww. Poor Pete.
If I could have somebody else's tongue in my mouth, I would.
Hey, call me later, baby. I mean, I literally said when we started the podcast, I thought of Peter because he has a voice for fucking radio.
Yeah, face for radio too.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.